জয় রাধো মাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি, জয় রাধো মাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি, কবির নাবালব গিরি বরদারি, গোপী জনাবালব গিরি বরদারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজদান রঞ্জন, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজদান রঞ্জন, যমুনা চেহরাবন সারি, যমুনা চেহরাবন সারি, জয় রাধো মাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি, গোপী জনবালব গিরি বরদারি, যশোর নন্দন ব্রজদান রঞ্জন, যমুনা চেহরাবন সারি, জয় রাধো মাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি, জয় রাধো মাধব কুঞ্জবিহারি, হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম, রাম রাম হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম, রাম রাম হরে হরে, হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম হরে রাম, রাম রাম হরে হরে, জয় প্রভুপদা প্রভুপদা প্রভুপদা, জয় প্রভুপদা Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraja Gachara Sarasata Sisi Mati Raniki Swami Divine Grace Aisi Bhaktanda Swamra Chira Prabhupada Ki Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 6th Canto 5th Chapter, Text 44. Shishuka Uvacha Pratijagraha Tat Badham Narada Sadhu Samataha Etavan Sadhu Vadha Hi Titiksheto Ishvaraha Svayam Shishuka Vacha Shishuka Vacha Pratijagrahatat Badam Narada Sadhu Sammatoho Narada Sadhu Sammatoho Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Titikshete Shvarasvayam Sisuka Vacha Tijagrahatat Badam Narada Sadhu Sammataho Etavan Sadhu Vadohi Tikshete Shvarasvayam.
Thank you.
Shri Shukra Goswami said, Pratijagraha, accept it, tat, that, bhadham, so be it, narada, Narad Muni, sadhu sammataha, who is an approved sadhu, etavan, this much, sadhu vadaha, appropriate for a saintly person. He indeed titiksheta, he may tolerate Ishvaraha, although able to curse Prajapati Daksha, Svayam himself. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Sri Gaura Goswami continued, my dear king, since Narad Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tat Badam, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is tolerant and merciful sadhu, he took no action. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, text 21. Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata sattava santa sarava sadhubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Because Narad Muni is the most elevated of sadhus, devotees, to deliver Prajapati Daksha, he silently tolerated the curse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this principle to all his devotees. Chinarapi sunichena tarorivasahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers, Jagai and Madhai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narad was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Now it might be asked why Narad Muni stayed in the presence of Prajapati Daksha and tolerated all his accusations and curses. Was that for Daksha's deliverance? The answer is yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that after being insulted by Prajapati Daksha, Narad Muni should have left immediately, but he purposely stayed to hear all Daksha's strong words so that Daksha might be relieved of his anger. Prajapati Daksha was not an ordinary man. He had accumulated the results of many pious activities. Therefore, Narad Muni expected that after delivering his curse, Daksha, satisfied and freed from anger, would repent his misbehavior and thus get a chance to become a Vaishnav and be delivered. And Jaga and Madai offended Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda stood tolerantly, and therefore both brothers fell at his lotus feet and repented. Consequently, they later became perfect Vaishnavas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Narad Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Shishuka Vacha Pratichagraha Tadbadam Narada Sadhu Sammataho Etavan Saduvadohi Titikshetesvarak Svayam. Shishukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, since Narad Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tadbadam, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return. But because he is tolerant and a merciful sadhu, he took no action. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinotaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So this is the last verse of the chapter. And Shukadeva Goswami is giving the conclusion. And he's speaking about Narad Muni as an approved saintly person. Now what does it mean to be an approved saintly person? Is there some sort of badge or license or uniform that's being issued to the sadhus so that ordinary people can recognize? No. Approved means that this person is following the lifestyles, got the characteristics, the habits of a sadhu. You cannot rubber stamp a saintly person by dress or by ecclesiastical decree. It is not possible, just like in the same way that you cannot legislate faith. Nobody can tell you, you have to believe in this person. You know, this person is really knows what he's doing. But every individual, by their own ability to discern, should be able to make out, according to the actions, the words, and the behavior, who is a saintly person. Now, of course, nowadays people have got no understanding of what is a saintly person. So there are some external criteria that are being taken as a yardstick. But most people are being misled. I was just in West Africa, and there's many Christian preachers who go to a weekend or a monthly course, and after that they become pastors. Some of them even become bishops in their own church. Now, usually if you're a bishop in a Catholic church, that means like you're somebody, you know. You pass through all your ministerial training, your education, and you're following the process for quite a few decades. But there it is simply a self-proclaimed title. And because they have their own TV stations, they have their own TV programs, they dress very nicely, they have a lot of followers. We were crossing the border into Ghana, and as we were waiting for our visas to be approved, we saw one preacher on the TV station, and everybody was watching the whole border thing. Everybody was watching this man. And I thought it was like a soap opera, because it looked like, you know, daytime TV where, you know, people are doing these comedy shows. A man who was all dressed up in very shiny, elegant clothes, and he was like singing and dancing and moving around his church. And I thought, this is like a mixture between Bollywood and and African comedy show. So I asked the people, well, who's this? And they were like, you don't know who this is. Like you say you've never heard of Jesus Christ or something like that, you know? Like he's like the Messiah. He's like the most popular preacher in Ghana. And then I asked one of the devotees, who was he? And they said, well, he's a regular thief, dacoit, and bandit who figured out that you can make more money being a pastor or a bishop than robbing people on the street. So now he's doing the same, but with a nice suit, and he's talking about God and Jesus and all these things. So this has been going on since time immemorial in different countries, in different religions. So what are the characteristics of a saintly person? Because by mundane estimation, you will never know. You can go to India, and in any place, you will have scores of people dressed in saffron cloth, who are there sitting by the roadside, holding out a bucket, and asking for charity. But how do you know who is genuine? How do you know who is actually bona fide? There is no decree. There is no external sign. But Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the proper understanding. Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehina majata satrava santa sadava sadubhushanaha. That the symptoms or the ornaments of a sadhu are that he's tolerant. The sadhu tolerates, just like Daksha. After the first, just like Narad Muni, after Daksha had started to blaspheme him, after the first few words, he could have said, hey, I'm out of here, you know? I don't need this. I already scored, you know, I made 11,000 bhaktas. I made 11,000 disciples. So, that's good. I'm satisfied. Let me leave this place. No, he stuck around. As Prabhupada mentions here, he stuck around because he figured if Daksha exhausts his poison, he's an intelligent man. So after I allow him to say what he wants to say, he will calm down. And maybe he'll repent. Maybe he'll come to his senses. And he will become a little inquisitive. And then I can actually touch his heart and give him Krishna. Now it's a long shot, but he was taking that chance to be insulted, to be abused, and to be cursed just to deliver Daksha. He was not resting on his laurels, as we say. Oh, I have achieved now. I have done my job. I have made great accomplishment here. No, he was not worried about the 11,000 that he already delivered. He saw one person. And that one person he had not yet delivered. And for that one person he was ready to suffer abuse. This is pretty bad stuff that Daksha was, you know, putting out there. But Narad, he just tolerated it very patiently, very tolerantly. So, the greatness of a person is estimated not so much in big words or in big achievements, but in how much that person is capable of tolerating adverse circumstances and situations in trying to do good for others. That is the criteria of a saintly person. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he tolerated so many difficulties, suffering heart attacks, being alone without any help, being misunderstood by his own God brothers. Even when he came back to India, it wasn't that the fight was over. Then the fight really started. Then it got really intense. Because dealing with ignorance is one thing. But dealing with people who think they know, that is another thing. Who are educated, who are so-called cultured and sophisticated, but who have misconstrued a different purpose. That is quite a different type of fight. But Srila Prabhupada, very tolerantly, very compassionately, he fought that fight. And he never gave up. He was relentless. And he gave everybody Krishna. Even though people were not so responsive. So that is the nature of a true sadhu, that he's always merciful and friendly to all living entities. He doesn't consider enemies. Even though people might be inimical, dhira dhira janak priya priyakaro, nirmatsara bujito, matsara means envy. This world is full of envy. Even advertisement says, you drive this car, everybody will be envious of you. So it's considered to be something desirable. Oh, people will be envious of you. You will be the envy of society. You wear these clothes, these shoes, you have these gadgets. People will envy you. And it's considered a good quality. But a sadhu, a Vaishnava, is not envious of anyone, and he doesn't want anybody to be envious of him. So he's not a show-off. No? Not trying to portray his or her greatness so that other people can feel lower and get that appreciation. No. So, why is a sadhu peaceful? Because he's always satisfied in his bhajan, in his spiritual practice. Atmaramas chamuna yonir grantam apiru krame kurvanti mahaitukim bhaktim itvam bhuta guno hari. By the practice of spiritual discipline, a sadhu is always satisfied. Always satisfied, always content. Thus you cannot ask a sadhu, okay, how are you doing today? Are you feeling up? Are you feeling down? What's your, you know? That's not, is not related to his body or to his mental or emotional mood swings. Aishtam yat tat punar janma jayaya. That is what a sadhu is concerned about. How successful are you in conquering over the repetition of birth and death? That is how a sadhu's criteria of success is. So he's abiding by scriptures. He's not inventing his own rules and regulations. And thus his characteristics are sublime. I once asked my spiritual master how I can serve him better. And he said, by doing four things. First of all, always be enthusiastic. Strive for unity. Have exemplary character. And what was the fourth one? Who remembers? It's still early in the morning. Have exemplary character. Be enthusiastic. Always strive for unity. And strict sadhana. Strict sadhana. What does strict sadhana mean? It means we're not cutting any corners. We're not thinking, oh, I've been a devotee now for 6 months. I can take it easy, you know. Because I know how this works here, you know. Look at the elders, you know. This one doesn't show up for this. This one doesn't show up for that. So, I know how it works here. I'm following my leaders, my examples. But we don't know what they're doing when they're not visible to you. You don't know that they're doing so many things, that they're continuously busy preaching and expanding the mission of Krishna consciousness. So, to have a strict sadhana is very important for a devotee. Because if we're not busy for Krishna, then Maya says, oh, you've got some time? Huh? Come play with me. Huh? You're not busy? Okay, I got some engagement for you. So devotee is always busy for Krishna. So when material energy calls and says, what about this, what about that? Devotee says, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Just like Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was tested by Maya Devi and by the prostitute, he said, yeah, I'll pay attention to you, but you know, after I finish my 192 rounds. So, just now coming, just wait a little bit, and I will certainly attend to your needs. But for the time being, I'm slightly busy with my sadhana. So sadhana is not over once we completed 16 rounds, once we've attended Mangalarti and Guru Puja. But sadhana is an ongoing affair. In other words, after the rounds is before the rounds. It always continues. Kirtaniya sada hari, to continuously chant Hare Krishna. That is the symptom of a pure devotee. The inhabitants of Kuli Nagrama, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are the duties of a grihastha? And Mahaprabhu said, you chant Hare Krishna and you serve pure devotee. Then they asked, how do we know who is a pure devotee? He said, a person who once chants Hare Krishna is a pure devotee. Next year, same question, same answer. And he said, a person who continuously chants Hare Krishna is a pure devotee. And the year after that, a person, once you see that person, you chant Hare Krishna, that is a pure devotee. So if you want to know whether you have attained the status of purity, just walk through the streets and count how many people respond Hare Krishna when they see you. That's a criteria. You can see that people actually become affected. So, exemplary character means that our behavior, our actions match up with our personality, with our philosophy, with our lifestyle. Srila Prabhupada did not have a private life and a public life. It wasn't that once he's behind his closed doors, then, you know, the party went on and he started to do his own thing. No. But what you see is what you get. It's straight up. Srila Prabhupada's life was very transparent. There was no secrets. Why? Because a sadhu does not keep any secrets from others. So, enthusiasm. We already spoke about enthusiasm the other day. And to always strive for unity. Do not think I'm a separatist. I'm going to succeed in my own way. To understand I'm part of the Sankirtan movement, it is a common effort. It is a team effort. Just like Narad Muni. He thought, okay, I got 11,000, but one is still missing to make that team complete. I still miss one, and it's an important one. So I'm not going to give up till I get that one. And he was ready to suffer and to tolerate pain and difficulty. But very often we're confused about our duty, we're confused about our identity. We're confused about the proper course of action. And that's why we get into trouble. The last few times I was with my spiritual master, I observed something that was kind of very instructive. And I like to share it with you. I was in his room doing service for him, and there's a few other people around. So I was looking for some attention, because that's the nature of conditioned souls. They look for attention. We want attention. We want some form of reciprocation. We want a look, a smile, a nod, or a few pleasing words, or a pat on the back. But it wasn't coming. So after a while I looked again, nothing was there. So I got a little bit, my mind started churning, I became a little disturbed. You know, I'm your disciple, I'm doing service for you, and you know, you're the guru, I'm the disciple. I mean, this is your duty, you're supposed to, you know, interact with me. And nothing, you know, nada, zip, nit, nix, no interaction. Like as if I would not exist. So then my mind really started reeling, and I started thinking, what is this, you know? Like, did I commit some aparad? Did I make some mistake? Or what's the lesson here? Well, what should I get out of this? Because there was no interaction. So this went on for a little while, you know, you have these internal moods that go on in your personality.
And after a while, a deep sense of satisfaction and happiness and peace arose in my heart. Why? Because I realized something very profound. That finally, he had accepted me as his servant. You do not need to entertain a servant. You don't have to wine and dine a servant. Oh, what would you like to eat today? You know, how can I, would you like to go out? Should I take you to the movies? You know, you need to go buy something. You don't need to do that. Why not? Because a servant is not insecure. A servant knows his position. He knows his duty. He's not confused about his role and his identity. He can carry on his duties without being continuously prodded along and continuously pushed. Okay, we will reveal to you the plan on a need-to-know basis, okay? We'll tell you from A to B, and when you get to B, then we'll tell you how to get to C. No. You have servants running estates. You have servants running companies for their masters. Why? Because a servant who is properly trained is not insecure. So I realized, why the hell am I insecure? I've been given instructions, plenty. I've been given assurance. I've been given love and care and attention, plenty. So why should I feel insecure? So I realized, finally, he had accepted me as his servant, that he did not think I have to entertain this fellow. But this fellow is trained. This fellow knows what is to be done. So I felt sheltered. I felt accepted that finally I had crossed the border from being a spectator to being part of the inner circle. But there is always a price to pay for that. Which means that you might be in an outpost somewhere, serving in separation. Just like our spiritual masters. They are traveling, they're preaching, sharing Krishna consciousness with the world. And we would love to be together with them and spend as much time with them as we can. But our spiritual masters want us to do what we're doing, to preach, to organize the mission, to expand Krishna consciousness. So, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada said, my spiritual master has left this world 40 plus years ago, but there is not a moment where I do not feel his presence, that he's right next to me, watching over me, guiding me, and giving me good instructions. So this spiritual master is also present in the devotees, is present in his movement, is always present in his teachings. The Vapu, the physical form, it may or may not be present. Srila Prabhupada saw his Gurudev maximum a dozen times. Many of us have seen our spiritual master many more times than that. Prabhupada saw his Guru 12 times. So, it is about actually understanding and following the instruction of the spiritual master. So how to develop this humility, which is the access code, which is the key to continuous chanting and to powerful preaching. Humility comes from the Latin word humus. It means like the soil, like the earth. What does it mean to be like the earth? The earth is humble. The earth is tolerant. Everybody steps on it. Everybody walks over it. The earth is there, sustaining everyone, holding up everything, and nourishing everyone. All the fragrances, all the smells that we experience come from the earth. So, this humility is an integral part of our Vaishnava culture. It is not a side issue. Just like Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthir, he took the service of washing everybody's feet. How many people attended the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, roughly, approximately? Anybody knows? A lot of people, that's the correct answer. Because everybody showed up. Because Rajasuya sacrifice means, you know, the emperor is doing a yajna and he's invited everybody, and that means you better show up. Because he's the emperor, you know. So, and Krishna personally took charge of washing the feet of all the guests. Not just the few kings, but of everybody. Now Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and he dried them with his cloth. And he said that, I'm teaching you. You should do amongst yourself as I've shown you. So, these illustrious examples are there. But because of arrogance and obstinacy, because of thinking ourselves to be something distinct, we may not think ourselves as something very extraordinary, but at least I am distinct. What does distinct mean? I'm unique. I'm something separate, you know? I may not be the best of the bunch, but at least in my category, I'm unique. I'm distinct. So, that is stemming from a misunderstanding of our own identity. Because there are countless jivas, there are countless living entities. And all the material designations, they're not very meaningful and they're very transient, they're very fleeting. So what are we proud about? It's like the chicken who is proud of his borrowed plumes. Even though we might be able to sing, to dance, to give class, to manage, but where have we gotten these talents from? They're all coming from Krishna, through the Guru Parampara. So we should use them to glorify our master. So, humility means to do great things in a humble spirit without claiming the result for oneself. Once Saint Francis was walking back to Assisi with one of his disciples, Leo, and it was late, and it was cold, and it was raining. And they were both hungry and tired. So Saint Francis turned to Leo and said, you know, if we can convert everybody to our faith, that is not something very extraordinary. And they continued walking. And after a while he said, you know, if we can make the lame walk and the blind see and the sick get healthy, that is not very extraordinary. And he went on like that for quite a few times. I'm going to keep it short here. And Leo got a little, you know, worried because he thought, then what is great? What is extraordinary? He said, extraordinary is when we're coming to the monastery and a person who opens is yelling and screaming at us and saying, who are you? What do you want? And we're saying, I'm Francis, I'm Leo. We're your brothers. Please let us in. We're hungry, we're thirsty. We've walked a long way. It's raining, it's cold, we're exhausted. But when he smashes the door in our face, that is something very wonderful. Then we continue knocking and he opens and then he takes a stick and beats us. And we can accept that as the mercy of God and tolerate it. That is very wonderful. If we can understand that everything that happens to us is God's mercy to bring us closer to Him, that is very wonderful. Now in our own lives, let's make a list, inventory. How many events, how many things are happening right now that we think are outside of God's mercy? We think, no, that's not very wonderful. That's actually quite terrible. That's actually quite repulsive. That's actually quite detrimental. It may look like that on a material platform, but that is only a limited view. Just like Narad Muni. He's being cursed here not to have one fixed residence. Now you and I, we all know the fastest way to get old is to keep on traveling. Huh? If a man travels, he becomes old. If a wife is separated from her husband, she becomes old, etc., etc. There's different examples that are given in the Shastras. So, to not have a fixed residence is not something very nice. So Narad Muni, he could have gotten upset. He's here mentioned that he is Ishvara. Titikshe Teshvaraha. Ishvaraha. Ishvara means controller. He's powerful. He was perfectly capable of cursing Prajapati Daksha. And you know there's curse and counter-curse, and in this way you can nullify a curse by counter-cursing. But he didn't do that, because he did not want to use his Brahma Tejas, his potency, for counter-cursing. In fact, he took that curse very happily. Do we have another example from Srimad Bhagavatam where cursing and counter-cursing was going on, and everybody got quite into trouble, and it became quite messy? You remember? Again, Daksha, in a different situation. Bhrigu Muni and Nandishwar, the followers of Lord Shiva and the followers of Lord Daksha, who are really going at it, and they're really letting go of all their curses. And still today, you can see the effect, the result of that cursing. But Narad, he just took it. He just absorbed it. And acted for the benefit of Prajapati Daksha. In the same way, Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he just stood there when Jagan Madai attacked him. And he tolerated, even though his head was bleeding profusely. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his Sudarshan Chakra. But he stopped him and he said, in this incarnation, you have not come to kill the demons, but you've come to deliver them. If you kill these two, you have to kill everybody. In fact, one of them tried to stop the other from harming me. Prabhu was very positively surprised and embraced. And thus they got deliverance. Why? By the tolerance, by the humility of Lord Nityananda. So as aspiring preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement, let us also try to develop this humility of not thinking ourselves anything distinct, anything special, anything extraordinary, and of trying to do good for the welfare of all living entities. But people will not appreciate. Undank ist der Weltenlohn. Or ungratefulness is the reward that you get from the world. Mother Teresa said, you try to do good for others and the world will knock out your teeth. But still, devotees are acting in the capacity of bestowing mercy on others. Because that is their nature. Because they understand that these people are simply ignorant. And we have to tolerate their abuse. Now, you can say we should be intelligent to try to avoid getting into trouble, just like Haridas Thakur, when he went out on preaching with Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda always got them into trouble. He went into the barn and he milked the cow and drank all the milk, and then the householder would come chasing after them. Or he would go into the house and he would tease the babies and make them scream, and then people got upset. Sometimes he walked around naked. Can you imagine your Sankirtan partner is naked? The police shows up and takes you downtown to the station and books you. So, as they were running away, the first time, on the first encounter with Jagga and Madai, Haridas Thakur said, why do I associate with a person like you? You always get me into trouble, you know? Because you always do or say the wrong thing and agitate and aggravate the situation. We could have avoided these two people. I told you, they're not nice people. Let's stay away from them. But you went there and you made this come upon us. And Lord Nityananda was just laughing and laughing and laughing, and thus they were running away. So, Lord Nityananda is the most merciful. He's the most magnanimous personality. And all these spiritual masters are coming in disciplic succession from Lord Nityananda. And thus they also have taken upon them the unthankful task of accepting disciples. Sometimes one thinks, oh Guru, what a nice job he's got. Just look, all the respect and all the praise and all the gifts and like that. And the materialistic mind is thinking, who is this person? Just like sometimes people look at the book and they see Prabhupada's picture, he's got a flower garland on it. Immediately you can sense the envy. Who is he? Who is he? Why is his picture here? Why not my picture? Why is he wearing the big garland? Why not me? So Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned several times, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm simply the messenger. I simply have come to deliver the message of my spiritual master. I'm not first class, second class, third class, fourth class. I'm fifth class. I'm the servant of all the other classes. Just like a brahmachari. A brahmachari learns how to live. A grihastha learns how to live in the world. A vanaprastha learns how to live without the world. And a sannyasi, he has given up all his personal desires. And he has accepted the whole world as his sons and daughters. It's quite a different mindset. It's not like, okay, now I can do my own thing. But there is no more own thing. That doesn't exist anymore. So, by studying the examples of our previous acharyas and by begging them for mercy. But what does begging for mercy mean? It means that we're associating with them through their instructions. And whatever you appreciate, appreciates. When you associate with somebody through their teachings, through their example, some of that quality will rub off on you. Some of that quality will rub off on you. Because you emulate that example. But we can always choose different examples, depending on what is our attraction. So to make the right choices, for that we have this ISKCON Society, and we have this program that Srila Prabhupada has given us, so that we can advance in our spiritual practice and not become sidetracked. Because the tendency of this world is always that we take the externals to be as very important, but we disregard the essence. We get very much caught up in the form, but we miss the substance. So here, this whole incident, what is the substance? What is the teaching that we get? That Vaishnavas are merciful. And they're always planning, always striving, always toiling for the deliverance of all living entities. And because the Vaishnavas are so merciful, Krishna has become their property. Akinchana gochara. Somebody who claims nothing to be his own, Krishna says, okay, you don't have anything? Okay, I become your property. And if you have Krishna, you got everything. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtat. When Krishna is happy, everybody's happy. So if you have Krishna as your only property, you've got everything. You got it made, as we say. So the spiritual master, he's not claiming any proprietorship. Even though he might be quite capable from a material and spiritual perspective, but he's simply depending on the mercy of his spiritual master in Krishna. And thus Krishna is using him as an instrument and is allowing himself to be distributed through his pure devotees. What is that verse? Sadunam Bridayam Tvaham Najanati. Come on, Pandits, we need you. Translation. Yes, thank you. Hare Krishna. Questions or reflections? I know it's the heavy topic and I'm the wrong person to speak about this. Yes, Prabhu.
You were speaking about the spiritual master, and so I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada was in the Evanston Temple and the newspaper reporters and the media came. And they went into this room, and Srila Prabhupada sat on the floor, although there was a nice chair for him, and the people were puzzled. Why don't you sit on the nice chair? He says, because you are envious of me, I'll sit on the floor.
Thank you.
I'll just... humorous side note, when Dakshas, Brahmins, were busy cursing Shiva's sadhus, the greatest curse came out. We curse you to take birth in the material world. This was the last curse.
Thank you.
We were busy trading. Evidently, at this time, they didn't consider themselves to be in the material world.
Any other points? Yes, Sri Jagannath.
You were sharing your pastime, I guess, with Raghu Maharaj concerning the point about being led into the inner circle and knowing that you're a servant, so you don't need to be entertained and so on, which is a very profound point. I would wonder how you might balance that beautiful conception against the idea of the spiritual master having to, at least the idea that comes to most of our minds, the spiritual master has to be there to instruct us and kind of guide us, you know, step by step, until we get to a place of, let's say, inner security with our spiritual identity as a servant. So when people aren't there yet, they generally expect more from their spiritual masters. And oftentimes, especially within ISKCON, not being able to get that sort of reciprocation from their spiritual master.
We may not get it.
Yeah, right. So then the persons who don't get that, they get very doubtful because they're not at a place of spiritual security about their spiritual identity as a servant. So then how do they deal with that sort of doubt and emotional turmoil that comes up because they're not spiritually secure?
Yes.
And they don't see how they're going to really get there unless they get reciprocation.
Thank you. Very important point. Very often we confuse and we think, unless Guru is giving me exclusive attention, that he's not concerned about me. Because we're very limited. So unless somebody looks us straight in the eye and says, okay, are you paying attention? This is for you, okay? We think that it's not for me. Oh, he gave class. Yeah, for whom did he give class? For everybody. But, you know, it's not for me. So every day, there is class. Every day. And we've got, with the modern technology, the ability to hear and to get these instructions. But somehow our mind has got us convinced that unless he holds us by the hand and we go walking together in the park, you know, and he tells us, I came here just for you. Unless that moment happens, he doesn't care for me. Now that's the epiphany of insecurity. Now he may or may not do that depending on his personality and your relationship with him. But we should know that whatever spiritual master does and says is for the benefit of this disciple. Like it says that you do not have to get an invitation to go see your parents, your friend, or your guru. You don't need. Why? Because you're on such intimate terms that you can show up at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's perfectly all right. What do you want? What do you want? I'm your son, you know? What do you mean what I want? You know, we're family, right? We're tight. So, that means that whatever guru says, we take it to heart. We think this is for me. He spoke this just for me. He may look at somebody else. He may talk about somebody else. But I consider this relevant instruction for me. Otherwise, how is it going to work? I mean, a guru's got 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 or more disciples. And if everybody wants to get their 20 minutes, you can calculate how long it's going to take. With a bit of sadhana and a bit of chanting and, you know, resting and prasadam in between. It's going to be many years before your turn comes up next. So that will be a frustrating type of scenario. In Prabhupada's times, Srila Prabhupada intimately associated with a few of his disciples. But it was understood that you can get Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada's mission from your godbrothers, from your senior godbrothers, from your temple president, who was the appointed authority. It wasn't just, oh, okay, it's the guy who sits in the office, you know, and who makes sure the bills get paid. That was the representative of Prabhupada. That also means that he wasn't just an administrator, he was a preacher. That person, you know, and it should still be the same today. And it is, in the most parts. So it really depends on our consciousness, on our attitude. Otherwise, you sign up for utter frustration and misery. Because I've seen it time and time again, that people have expectations and these expectations are not fulfilled. And then they go somewhere else where they think, oh, here in this Sangha, I get more attention, I get more reciprocation, everybody's so nice, they all say, how are you? How are you doing? How is the kids? How is the job? How's the this? How's the that? And then you meet Guru, and he's telling you, go out and fight! Maya! Sankirtan Kijai! And you think, like, what's his problem, you know? Like, what about Atmarama, you know? What about, like, being nice to each other and all that stuff? Huh? Misunderstanding of what is spiritual master and what is spiritual instruction. As I mentioned earlier, if we want to get utterly frustrated in life, the fastest way how to get there is to have unrealistic expectations towards others and towards yourself. That's the shortcut to utter misery. And I speak from experience, personally. You know, this is not just some nice little sutra that I've come up with. I've realized this, you know, in my own life. Also in regards to the spiritual master. Because superior persons, they're not subjected to our mundane logic or even to the social formalities of the world. They're not. They're above that. And sometimes they might be very bold and very strong, and sometimes they might be very soft and very sweet. And both are kind of too much, you know? Both are kind of super intense. And it's hard to take it. But it's both mercy. Last year in Ratha Yatra in Puri, after Ratha Yatra, it was a two-day Ratha Yatra. Because there was rain and there was a lot of... Were you there? A lot of delays. And actually Jagannath orchestrated it, because the next day everybody's gone. It's just the ISKCON devotees doing kirtan. So anyhow, after the first day, it was late at night. And we all walked back from where we were on Grand Road. And Guru Maharaj was staying in a room on Grand Road, nearer to the Jagannath temple. So as we went by there, he was just standing in front of the entrance. And he said, so we went in with a few God brothers. We were sitting down and he was serving us prasadam. And we had this big basket. You know, you have these baskets. They're made out of, what's the material? Palm leaf, yeah. Woven palm leaves. And Lord Jagannath gets offered these different type of snacks on the procession. So there was a snack which was freshly ground coconut with some gaur and some nuts and a few spices. Very tasty. And one of the pandas had given this whole basket as a gift to Srila Radhanath Maharaj. And I was carrying that basket all the way to the room. So then he distributed that, and then they put some on his plate, and then he took a little bit, and then he just pushed the plate over, and he said, you can have it, like that. So sometimes spiritual master may treat you like an equal, and ask you, okay, what's your opinion? What's your advice? And then the mind goes, oh, Guru is asking me for advice, huh? Not bad, huh? It means, you know, I'm getting there, you know. It's happening. It's very dangerous business, you know. Very dangerous business. One time he asked me after program, what do you think of the program? And I said it was very nice. And he just caught me off and said, I don't have you around to be a yes man. Okay. So when you deal with fire, you have to be you have to be careful, because it can burn. It's also very nice, because you know you feel the effulgence and the warmth, and the you know you feel very nourished. But if you deal with fire, you have to be careful. So we can see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the lives of Govinda and Kashishwar, they're God brothers, but their Gurudev has ordered them to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was their God brother. And they did so. They didn't think, oh, you know, our Gurudev left and now it's our chance to become the Acharya, to become somebody, you know, have our own little club, our little following. No. They followed the order. They went straight to Puri. They served Mahaprabhu. Menial service. Kashishwar, he's stout and strong. He was walking in front, clearing the crowd, so that Mahaprabhu could pass unobstructed. Always securing Mahaprabhu's space. And Govinda, he was just the menial servant and assistant, massaging his legs, caring for his meals, taking care of whatever needed to be taken care of. Swarup Damodar was his secretary. He was the one who was arranging for the interviews and the audiences and the invitations and all these type of, you know, interactions. That was Swarup Damodar's duty. And Raghunath Das Goswami assisted Swarup Damodar. But Govinda, he was the menial, humble servant. And one time, Mahaprabhu was so tired, he just laid down in the doorway. And Govinda, whose duty was to massage the Lord's legs after he had taken his lunch, he asked him, please, can you make some space because his legs were in the room, that I can massage your legs? Mahaprabhu said, I'm too tired. I cannot move my body. You do as you please, as you see fit. Okay, what does that mean now? Huh? You ever gotten an instruction like that? Like the most palatable instruction by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Karishye vachanam tavai. You do as you please. Now you deliberate and you do as you feel fit. Now what to do if you get that instruction from your guru? So he put his chadar over Mahaprabhu, stepped over him, which ordinarily would not be acceptable under any circumstance. And he did massage and then he stayed there. And after 45 minutes, when Mahaprabhu had rested and he woke up, he saw that Govinda was still sitting there and he said, what is going on? You were supposed to take your meal, not sit around here. Why are you still sitting here? Govinda did not reply. A servant does not argue with his master. Oh, you don't understand. Oh, it's like this, it's like that. No, a servant serves. So he kept his mouth shut. But Mahaprabhu understood his heart. Because Govinda knew that in order to serve the Lord, I can break the etiquette. I'm ready to suffer the reactions. But for my own lunch, for my own sense gratification, I cannot do that. But he did not want to instruct or preach or even inform Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of this. But for our situation, mostly we are more on the forthcoming side, speaking from my own situation. And thus, it is a gradual process of purification. And sometimes it is not so easy to feel that strong connection. But as I've mentioned earlier in reply to your question, if we see our spiritual master present in the devotees, and that's not just our God brothers and God sisters, but that's everybody, because we're in the family of Krishna consciousness here, then there is always good association, there is always good instruction, and there's always good examples to emulate. And otherwise, if our mind has got ourselves convinced, then we'll be in the sampradaya of Ramachandra Puri, who even though had ample opportunity, just saw mistakes and found faults with his own guru, with his God brothers, and with all the other devotees. And that is a very, very dangerous situation. Yes, Prabhu? I don't know whether that satisfies your question. Of course, we're always hankering for more association and more instruction. And when the guru is here, we should be eager. We shouldn't say, oh, I can do my service and listen to class. You know, I don't need to go and, you know, because it's the same. No, we should be eager. But at the same time, if that's not possible, then service and separation is also sweet. And we should not feel that we're cut off or there's a lacking. Because physical form is only present for a short time. Yes.
An added characteristic to his personality was he found fault where there was no fault. That kind
which
of
is quite,
you off.
Which is quite spectacular, if you think about it.
There was this devotee, he was in the Evanston Temple, and he had a lot of resources, so he was, I guess you might say, he could have been kind of puffed up, you know, his parents were wealthy and stuff, and they wouldn't really ask him to do too much service because they knew he wouldn't do it. So he got an airplane ticket to India, and he was in Vrindavan, and he says, tell Prabhupada, I don't know if he said tell or ask Prabhupada if I can speak to him on the Bhavatam. If I can speak to him and discuss with him the Bhavatam, Srimad Bhavatam. And Srila Prabhupada told this disciple, he said, have him wash the floor in the temple. You know, so you're thinking, you're talking about personal audience and attention.
Yeah.
So this is how Prabhupada directed him.
That's nice.
Go wash the floor.
One time I was traveling with my spiritual master from Moscow through Zurich to Florence. And I booked a ticket, so I booked it on Swissair. I thought, you know, the best. And I tried a few things, and I had to learn the hard way that you can't manipulate the sadhus. I wanted to give him a cushion, but he was already sitting in the seat, and he just said, not required, you know. So if it's already there, he would accept it, which I did on the second leg of the flight. But if he came later, it's not required. Then they have this special apple juice, which is really, really something. And I wanted to offer it to him, but he said, no need. I just had water, you know. He just dismissed it like that. So sometimes we think that we can, in the name of service, manipulate and like that. And it doesn't really work for the most parts. Then at other times when we actually are in need of some mercy, because spiritual master is always connected with the disciple in the heart. So he sees that need. One time after New York Ratha Yatra, I came up in the Bhakti Center the next day, and my spiritual master really looked tired and really looked exhausted. So I told him, and he could hardly talk. So I said, you need a massage. Now, ordinarily, this would not fly. But I said, you need a massage right now. And I said, I'm going to give you a massage right now. And he allowed. And after 5 minutes, he was asleep. And he slept for several hours. So I just pressed his legs and his feet and just covered him with a cloth and paid obeisances and went out. Because it wasn't about being there and doing what I felt needed doing, but he just needed rest. Another time I came to Mayapur, and I was quite despondent. I was quite in trouble. And I felt depressed. And so he came down from the GBC meetings, and he saw me, and he walked straight up to me, and he said, are you still cooking at your place? And I said, yes. And he said, can you cook Italian prasadam for me? And I said, yes. And then he said, can I bring the brahmacharis also? I said, sure, bring as many as you want. I said, when? He said, can we come today? I said, you can come right now if you like. So the reciprocation is always there, but sometimes we're not capable of appreciating, because we're having our own plans, we're having our own ideas that are going on in our head, and thus we cannot really connect like that. So Krishna is showing his mercy and his kindness through the spiritual master, but also through all the Vaishnavas. So to appreciate the Vaishnavas, Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm old and I'm lame, but by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, their mercy is like a stick. With the stick of their mercy, I can make it. And I can do my task of writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now he's the senior most person, most qualified. But he's saying, I can only do this with the mercy of all the others. And he's begging for blessings from everybody to write this literature. In fact, Samadha Goswami said, yes, we give blessings, but there's one condition. You can't mention our name in your book. What a condition. You know, this is going to be like the authorized work on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. And your name can be in there, you know. But you say no. I give blessings, but the condition is that my name is not in that book. That's why Kaviraj Goswami speaks about a certain South Indian Brahmin, you know, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who made that condition. So that is the nature of Vaishnavas. Yes.
The devotees would be constantly meeting Srila Prabhupada at the airport, and when the devotee says, you know, we have enough money, we could buy you a personal jet, and you wouldn't have to go through all the terminals and all the rigmarole. And Prabhupada says, no, they would even become more envious because they would see that this man is doing nothing and these people are working like slaves for him. Just see, you know. So, and then another thing, they had first class seating for Srila Prabhupada, and he told one of the devotees, he said, we don't really need this. There's not that much extras, you know. The money can be used in another way. So, you know, he wasn't extravagant, you know, he was frugal. And then, you know, in New York, and he would take the subway, and then he would, you know, things like that, you know, just to save money and things like that.
Thank you. I really liked the initial diary when Prabhupada wrote, you know. You could see many times he didn't even take the bus, he walked to save the bus fare. And his bookkeeping, you know, 15 cents bananas. Yeah, 25 cents postage, you know. I'm like, okay, let's get serious, you know. This is Acharya. He teaches by his example. No extravagance, not wasteful.
Your action speaks so loud I can't hear a word you're saying.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktarinda ki, Gaur Premanand.